Blog Talk Radio.
Every single word I say, you know it before I speak. You know every thought, the deepest part of me. You draw me close and then I see your presence is everything I need to be the child that you
And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out.
Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go, rather, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward.
Matthew 10 from the Word of Promise. That's a very awesome scripture there. And that's where he sends out the 12 disciples out into Israel to cast out demons, to pave the way for him to come through to Israel. And that's a very awesome episode right there. But this is the Healing Light Show. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is host Reverend Stan. I'm kindly by my lonesome today. Everybody, that all my co-hosts has been just got a Vince and Chris. I think he has something to do with his kid or something like that. So I'm holding the fort myself, and I have done this before. This is how I started the show, is by myself. So I'm kindly used to this. So it's all good, and we're going to be talking about how to keep your healing. How to keep your healing. There's a lot of people who comes out here and go to prayer meets, they go to evangelist meetings, and they get a miracle, and then within 2 weeks it disappears. And I'm going to kindly, show you how that is and why that happens. And I do know that Jesus paid for that sickness, and it should stay away. But there's some things that is our responsibility too. And, we've got to keep that responsibility and keep ourselves well, keep ourselves in the Spirit of God, and keep these demonic doors closed. First of all, and I'm going to be kind of clear with this, that there's different parts to your spiritual body, okay? There's your spirit, which is redeemed by the blood of Jesus. When you accepted him, he redeemed your spirit. Then your soul. Your soul is over your spirit. And a lot of people says, oh, it's your mind and this and that. But I'm telling you, your soul is the access area where the enemy comes into, because it has to do with your emotions, all type of things. And any type of lies and deceit and all of that opens doors to that, where he can get into your soul. But your spirit is sealed. It can't go nowhere. It cannot go nowhere. I mean, there's nothing that can penetrate it. God's already sealed it by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and nothing can penetrate it. It's already had the way paid to heaven, so there's no problem. But your soul still has that access area there where the enemy can get in. But the only way he can get in is when you fall for his tricks. When you fall for his tricks, like any time you hold unforgiveness, there's a door. Pain, there's a door. Trauma from an accident, because when a lot of people goes into trauma, they go into unforgiveness or pain, and then the enemy is the author of pain and sickness. And when you're going through pain and sickness, he tries to access in. That's why some of the times, you know, we got to pray harder to keep these doors shut. But there's a door open there. And a lot of times when I pray for people, well, I've kindly learned this, and I've learned this from a lot of different ministers and things that I've studied over the years, and I've experimented with this. This ain't something I took to heart. I experimented with it first to see if it worked, because I don't take anybody's word for certain. I've got to see it happen. I've got to see it in the Word of God, and I've got to see it happen. So I experimented with it, and I saw a lot of tremendous changes in people. I saw a lot of tremendous changes on myself. I tested a lot of this on myself, too, before I even tried on anybody, because I've had a bad childhood and a lot of issues that was in my life that God has been healing through the years. And I've used it with my own self and to see what happened to me and if it helped me. And that's one of the main things, to see how things happen to you, how you get healed. And that's one thing you've got to do. You know, anytime I do anything, I try to test it out on myself or somebody I know that will tell me the truth and something like that happens. But there's a lot of doors that is open to the enemy. And any time that you open these doors to trauma, bad childhood, to divorce, these things sneak right into that door. And you can get healed. You can get healed. And these things will keep on coming in. I'm going to tell you, in the Word of God, if you remember where the guy at the pool of Bethel's up, where they believed that this pool, all the six people would group to and jump into the water every time they saw the water move at a certain time of year, a certain time of the day, whatever it is. But all the sick people would get in there, and they would think an angel from God would move the water, and all the sick people would get into this pool, okay? And there was this one guy, he could not walk. His legs was messed up. He could not walk. He could not get there. He had to drag his way to the pool, okay? Every time he tried to drag his way to the pool, everybody would beat him to the pool, and they would all, and the whole pool would be filled up, and he never could get in there. So one day, Jesus was walking by the pool, saw this guy sitting there. And the guys were talking to Jesus, said, "Hey, I've been sitting here for 30 years trying to get in this pool, and I cannot access this pool because everybody gets in front of me, and it's impossible for me to get there." And Jesus says, "Pick up your mat and walk." And he looked at him strange and said, "Huh?" He said, "Okay, I'll do it." And he got up, and he was healed, completely healed. And then he said, "Pick up your mat, go to synagogue, tell what happened." So he told about his healing, and people saw that and asked him who healed him. He could not say because Jesus never did reveal his name to him. And there was a lot of reasons why he didn't reveal his name because, it would cause a lot of problems. So anyway, he told the Pharisees that he got healed, and he didn't know who healed him because he never did tell his name. So he walked out of the synagogue, and Jesus walked up to this guy that was healed. And he looked at him. He said, "Don't sin no more, or worse is coming to you." He looked at him and said, "Don't sin no more, or worse will be coming to you." So what this is saying here, this is saying, once you get your healing, do not sin no more, because you're opening more doors for the enemy to come in. And he's already mad because he got chased out. And if you chase somebody out of their house, they think it's their house, and are they too happy? No, they're not very happy, so they're going to come in even worse. So that's when the Lord has actually chased this out of your body. You need to close these doors and don't fall back into this sin. And here in Matthew, let's see, I think this is Matthew 12, verse 43, here's where Jesus talks about the return of evil spirits. It says, "When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over the dry country looking for a place to rest. If it can't find one, it says to itself, 'I will go back to my house.' So it goes back and finds the house empty and clean and fixed up and put into order. Then it goes out and brings along seven other spirits, even worse than itself, and they come and live there. So when it is all over, that person is worse shape than he was at the beginning. This is what will happen to evil people of this day." See? So if you're going out and get healing and you never accept the Lord, you never get filled with the Holy Spirit, but you get delivered, okay? The Holy Spirit is not filled in you. You're walking around an empty house. The demons is already mad. They're gone. But they're wanting to come back. There's nothing to stop them. There's nothing to stop them. That's why it's very important when you do get prayed for, you do get healed, and you're not a believer, accept the Lord. He will close these doors where these things can't come in. Okay, now we're going to go back to believers and Pharisees and all this and that. The Pharisees weren't really believers, but they used the name of Jesus and stuff. And they really had no faith. And this is almost a completely different subject, but I want to touch on this while I'm here. If you have no faith in the Lord and you go out trying to pray for things, pray for demons to leave, you can get into trouble because you're not sanctified. God is not living in your heart. You're just using the name just to show something. And the Pharisees tried this, that in Jesus' name, and the demon looked at him and looked at the Pharisees and said, hey, you ain't Paul. He said, I know the name Jesus, but I don't know your name. You ain't Paul. And said what the demon did to the person, he beat him and scratched him up and kicked him out of the house, out of the person's house that he was in, out of the area. So what this is saying is they know what's going on. So if you're going not saved and prayed up, you're going to have some problems. Me, myself, before I go and pray for people, I try to pray before I get into the situation. Before I go out and do street ministry, I fall into prayer. I ask the Lord to protect me. I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me. I try to cover all the things. I try to repent anything that I've done or anything that has happened. I try to repent for it and ask for the Lord's forgiveness to seal these doors where anything won't happen to me. And the second thing, the Lord will show me some things that I have unforgiveness for, and I'll have to lift that up. And there is times where I have this. So I try to seal these doors. I've prayed for people. Recently, last night, I prayed for a person and had a issue with their body. And it's been going on for some time. And anytime I'll say that you have a demonic being in you, the pain moves all around your body. If your arm is hurt, and all of a sudden it quits hurting, it moves to your knee. That is not normal. Pain don't move like that. It don't move around like crisscross. That's demonic. That's not body stuff. So first thing you got to look into is deliverance. What is that? What's causing that? First thing we got to do, or first thing I've got to do, is try to find the door. Where did this thing go? And a lot of people say, well, the only thing you can do is put your hand on the person and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. That's fine. That will happen. But if you still have that door open, that enemy can still fly back through. He'll leave for a while. He'll leave for a while. And I'm going to tell you another thing. When you put your hands and you say, in Jesus' name, be healed, if you got issues in your arm or you got torn muscles from an accident that you did, that is a great way to do it, just pray and ask the body to repair itself in Jesus' name and watch the body repair itself and let the Holy Spirit work on it. But when you got demonic issues, it's a little different. Now, Jesus, most of his ministry was deliverance. Most of his ministry was deliverance. I can't tell you how many times that he prayed for deliverance. And he did heal people, and he did do a lot of deliverances. It also says that in the Word of God. And what was so awesome a while ago is that in Matthew 10, where they was talking about when he was sending the 12 disciples out, and he was telling them, you know, go out, you know, cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He was sending them out to the Great Commission. They was the first ones set out on the Great Commission and telling them to lay their hands on the sick. And he was, like I said, they was paving the way. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be on this Great Commission too. And I'm going to go ahead and take us there here in a little bit. But got some other things I want to talk about. There's a couple other things I like to speak about too. Is you know, a lot of people when they see healing and something's not happening, they're also to accuse them of witchcraft or something like that. Excuse me. And in Mark. Mark 3:27 says, "No one can break into a strong man's house." Well, first of all, I'm gonna go back to the first part of it because I have a part here that I want to prove a point to. But it says, "Then when Jesus went home again, such a large crowd gathered Jesus and his disciples, and gathered that Jesus and his disciples had no time to eat. When his family heard about it, they set out to take charge of him." Because people were saying, he's gone mad. Some teachers of the law who had came from Jerusalem were saying he was Beelzebub, and Beelzebub was in him, and is the chief of the demons who gave him the power to drive them out. So Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a country is divided against itself into groups, which fight each other, that country will fall apart. If a family divides itself into groups, which fight each other, and the family will fall apart. So if Satan's kingdom divided into groups, it cannot last. It will fall apart and come to an end. So by no means, the enemy don't want his kingdom to fall apart. He don't. So he's going to cast out himself. It's kind of crazy. So then we're going to go on to 27. It says, no one can break into a strong man's house and take away the belongings unless he first ties up the strong man and then he can plunder his house. I assure you that people can be forgiven of all their sins and all the evil things they may say. But whoever says evil things against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven because he has committed an eternal sin. Jesus said this because some people were saying he was an evil spirit in him. So don't go around accusing people of witchcraft and stuff if they're saying the name of Jesus and stuff. And a lot of people say, well, that don't mean anything. I'm telling you, don't do that. That could be very bad on you because Jesus is working in you. Working in these people. And when you accuse them of bad things, some things could come upon you, so don't go around doing that. Because Jesus is using people. He's using all types of people. And there's a lot of things that talks about that. And I know there's a verse in the Word of God where the disciples and Jesus were walking down the road, and this one guy was casting out demons in Jesus' name. And Jesus was walking by and watching him. And the disciples said, hey, he's not with my group. Let's go stone him. He's not with us, dude. And Jesus says, stop. He said, if he's using my name and doing healings and casting out demons, he is in the right. And he will be rewarded. So, you know, a lot of people comes up and throws loose things at people and don't really understand things and can cause a lot of trouble. You really need to read the Word of God and don't use things that people that you know and churches have told you to use against people, because a lot of times that can be, I'll say, a religious demon doing that to you. So read the Word of God. Let him talk to you. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you and put peace to your heart before you accuse people of things, because it can be very dangerous to you if you do. I've known a lot of people that's done this. I know a lot of people that's failed because of this. Just be very careful. And there's a lot of people, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that don't really like other ministers. They don't agree with some of their doctrines, but they don't dislike them. They like them because they're doing the word. They're doing the commission of God. They're saving people. They're doing things that God wants them to do, and it's awesome. But they just don't agree with some of their stuff. It's not saying that they don't hate. They hate them or anything. It's just they don't, you know, agree with some of the things they do, and that's fine. That's fine. Like I told one of my friends, you know, preachers are kind of like football teams. They're all playing for the same organization, but they're all a little different, and that's fine. And we all have our own ministers that we enjoy to listen to, and there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I'm fine with that. I have my own certain ministers that I like, and there's some ones I don't really agree with. And we're all like that, and that's fine. And the Lord didn't make us all the same. We all like a different taste of different things. And, you know, as long as they're teaching the Word of God, they're saving people, and they're healing people in Jesus' name, I have no problem. And people don't want me to say that, but that's just the way I put it. But that is one thing, you know, the Lord does love all of us. He knows all of us personally. He knows how we can partake things. He knows how we understand things, and he's going to teach us in that way. We're all taught in many different ways. But to go back to the healing part is that when you're going to a guy to get healed or going to a man of God to pray for you, try to go with a little bit of faith, because it helps your healing. It always helps your healing to go with a little bit of faith. I've saw people that, you know, would pray for their families and not much happened. There's a lot of us that's had that. because there's a barrier there where the people don't really believe you because they've known you all their life. Even Jesus had issues in his own hometown. They wouldn't, not many people would come to him for him to pray for them, okay? Now, if you pray for your family, nothing happens, or your dad or whoever prays for you, nothing happens. It's not his fault. It's just that connection between you and him that you don't have as much opening there for him for faith that you would for somebody else. Go to another minister in town somewhere and or somebody else, and it may work. And I've saw this many a time. It's not that your father can't do that, and maybe he can. Maybe it will happen sometime, but I'm saying, you know, go to somebody else if you have to. It's not nothing your father, whoever your loved one's done. It just happens. It happens to all of us. So just don't feel bad about that. But, you know, sometimes healings don't happen with family members. And sometimes we got to bring friends in that prays for people to do it for us. And I have many a time. I've had some people to pray for my family that I just couldn't get things to happen because I was too close to them. And I could go and pray for somebody on the street or somewhere, you know. And, you know, crazy things would happen, you know, healings would happen and all type of things. So that just happens to the best of us, and there's no problems with that. And I'm going to tell you, you're not alone. We all have that situation. And I've got another thing here I was wanting to bring up, too, is with anointed people of God, that when you're anointed, the Spirit of God is over you. There has been a group of people that hands cards and stuff out to people, and the anointing is on it, and they get healed. And I did this myself. I saw some things happen, which is pretty awesome. And it's basically just the Spirit of God coming off on them, off of them to that. All us Christians, if we work in the power of God long enough, we will build up this barrier, a barrier of the Holy Spirit on us, that this will happen. This is just normal. Paul did this a lot. A lot of the disciples did this. And a lot of people would get healed in Acts, the book of Acts, just by the shadows of the disciples. They would get healed. They throw them into the shadow of the disciple, which is pretty awesome. But here's a thing where Jesus was walking. And so Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake. There at the lakeside, a large crowd gathered around him. Jairus, an official of the local synagogue, arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he threw himself down at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is very sick. Please come. Place your hands on her so she will become alive." Then Jesus started off with him. So many people were going along with Jesus that they crowded him from every side. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years. Then through she had been treated by many doctors. She had spent all of her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I could just touch the clothes, I will get well." She touched his cloak, and the bleeding stopped at once. She had to feel inside of herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once Jesus knew that the power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my cloth?" Disciples answered, "You see how the people are crowded you. Why do you ask this? Who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking around and to see who had done it. The woman realized what had happened to her. So she came trembling with fear, knelt down at the feet, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." So, you know, that's the same type of ordeal there that she just touched his clothing. And that happened many times in the Bible where people just touched the clothing of Christ and as the anointed disciples, and that was normal. And a lot of times that when this happens, we can feel power coming out of us. I felt it. It's just normal. And when you're praying enough for people, you can feel this. You can feel, I can. I mean, I don't know about other people. A lot of people don't feel things. I mean, it depends. I'm more of a sensitive. I could feel things like that, and some people can't. But when I went and prayed for people, I could feel the anointing coming off. It's like energy just shooting off of me, and I could see that. And when I would pray for somebody, I could tell that when I would pray for them that they would put a barrier up, be like a brick wall, like, hey, you ain't praying for me. Ain't nothing happening to me today. And a lot of times that's no faith. There's no faith in you, or they have no faith. They don't accept you for what you are. And there's a lot of people say, no, it's you. But, you know, when you're dealing with people, you know the difference. You know the difference. And it's not pointing no fingers, really. It's just saying that they have no faith that God can use you. And if they have no faith that God can use you, nothing's going to happen. Because they're not waiting for your vessel, for the vessel that God's using. They may be waiting for their preacher. They may be waiting for somebody else, and they will be able to. But I guarantee you, since you prayed, something will happen. Something will happen. God will open doors somehow for this healing to take place. And it may happen later on. And I have saw people that had no faith, but when they go to sleep, that barrier drops and the anointing can help. Because since they came with the faith to get the healing, it will land on them when the barrier is down. See, God is good. Your soul wants that healing. They want the power of God on them. A lot of times they're holding a barrier while they're awake, but when they go to sleep, the barrier is down and the power of God can heal them and help them. So that could be the case too. I've saw all type of cases. So I've saw cases where people got healed while they were asleep. They didn't while they was awake, but when they went to sleep, the barrier was dropped and the power of God got to heal them. I've saw people get healed from me. I've saw people get healed weeks from there. And, you know, it happens all different times. And, you know, in the Word of God, it said, you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It doesn't say you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover right now. So it could be right now. It could be 2 weeks. It could be any time, but they will recover. That's the promise that we got. So that's one thing I was wanting to tell you. But it's awesome. It's awesome to see people get healed. If nothing happens to you, just, you know, go to somebody that knows how to check these doors or check these doors on you that you don't know about, you know, say, Heavenly Father, please reveal to me that any unforgiveness that's in my heart, I ask you to reveal that to me. And then when this is showed to you, just ask God to take it. Say, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, I hand this unforgiveness to you. I ask you to remove this and seal these doors for me, Lord. And you can say, use the dunamis power of the cross. I do that sometimes. And what that does, that's like a hot poker that seals this, where it won't come back open. Okay. Now, the thing of it is, you can't bring it back up. Don't bring it back up. Just try to forget it, and it helps that door to heal and shut. But if you keep on using a door as a pity party, like, oh, this happened to me 20 years, you know, that type of thing, that rips that scab open and allows them back in. So drop that and let the Lord heal you. So what I'm going to do right now, it's going to be pretty awesome here. If anybody that's listening has an issue with prayers not happening at this time, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you. In Jesus' name, Father, to everybody that's listening to this show on podcast or listening to it live, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to reveal to them all the unforgiveness, any demonic doors that's been opened to in their lives. I ask you to reveal it to them now in Jesus' name. Reveal it to them now in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you a little time to let the Holy Spirit reveal this to you. So about right now, you should be seeing something. The Lord should be revealing something in your mind, in your mind's eye, however you want to look at it. And it's going to be showing you the door that has been open for many years for sickness and trouble coming in there. It could be unforgiveness. It could be trauma, anything, something that happened. And what I want you to do, whatever the Lord has showed you, this door of unforgiveness, childhood trauma, whatever it shall be, or divorce, whatever it is, or accident, or somebody really, really offended you when you was a child, or offended you at work, whatever this door is, I want you to lift it up and say, Lord Jesus, I hand this situation, you can call this dude by name if you want to, or this person by name, I hand this situation with this person, in Jesus' name to you, Lord, I forgive this person and I hand this problem over to you. To say that now, say, Jesus, I forgive, blank, add the name, and I hand this situation over to you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and say that. Okay. This is the next step. I'm going to pray for you for this to take place. Okay? In Jesus' name, Father, Lord Jesus, I ask you to pour your blood upon this wound and their soul. In their soul, I ask you to pour your blood upon this wound. I ask you to seal it, to heal it. I ask you to send the dunamis power of the cross and the resurrection, the power. I ask you to seal this in their spirit, in their soul. I'll get that mixed up. In their soul now, I ask you to seal this in their soul now. Seal it up where they have no more entry for the enemy to come in. I ask for this to be completely sealed in Jesus' name. I ask for this to be completely sealed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Father, I ask you to fill them up with your spirit. Fill them up with your peace. In Jesus' name, I ask you to fill them up with your spirit. I ask you to fill them up with peace now in Jesus' name. Just go ahead and fill them up, Father. Fill them up, Abba. Abba. Fill them up, Father. Fill them up. 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 When I say Abba, that means Father. So, y'all understand what I'm saying. Come on, Father. Keep on filling them up. Fill 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 them up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So what we just did through his prayer, we found the situation. We found the door that was open. It may be many. I'm just giving you an exercise with this today. And we handed it to the Lord. Asked for the Lord to put his blood upon it to seal it. Then we asked for the dunamis power of the cross to seal it up. Close the door. And I had to keep from the enemy to seeping in and keeping your healings from sticking and from other problems in your life. So that's the little prayer that we did for today. And that's all I'm going to talk about this Saturday about, you know, how to keep your healing. But, I'm going to take that back. I'm going to say one more thing. Anytime you get into a situation that hold unforgiveness, forgive them every time. Try to forgive them. Pray for them. If you got a bad situation, pray for the person. The person you dislike, pray for the person. God will rekindle the relationship. He will heal the relationship. He will heal the situation. He will get rid of the situation. Just pray for them. Anytime you pray for them, God will work on both of you. Every time he will work on both of you. Don't pray for him to disappear. Just pray for him, okay? Just pray for him. Because if you pray for him to disappear, most times God will put him right in front of you. So just pray for him, and he will deal with him in his own manner. And I'm going to tell you another thing is if you're holding on to a lot of regret and hatred, a lot of times it will hurt you more than it will the other person. And it will cause sickness and things in you where when you do get prayed for, things will happen, but it will constantly come back. So you need to do that to keep your physical body and your spiritual body healed. You know, just pray for them and ask for forgiveness. Lord knows I've done that a lot. I'm not perfect, but I'm growing in Christ and learning to be perfected through Christ, but I still got issues and dealing with my own thing, as everybody is. Person saying, oh, they've got it all understood, they're not telling you the truth, they're deceiving themselves. But we all got issues that we're learning to deal with. And one thing that I've learned is pray for these folks, and you see things healed. And give your problems to the Lord. Don't keep the problem yourself. Always give it to Him. And He always knows what to do with the situation. I'm telling you, it works every time. It'll help, you know, like I said, it'll help your healings take place, help your healings to stick, and it will help you to walk as a more peaceful and happy person. And that's the amazing thing about that. But we're going to go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and get off today, and I want to thank you all for listening to my show. And it's awesome to have people listening to me and getting to hear the Word of God and letting the Lord touch them. And I do want to talk about the event in July. It's called the Healing Life Conference. It's going to be on Saturday, July the 11th, 2015 at 5 p.m. We're going to have co-host Reverend Robert Hager, which is a co-host on Wednesday night. Co-host Chuck McDonald, which is normally on Saturdays. He's doing an event today. Guest Heath Adams, evangelist Heath Adams. He will be there. He's been a guest on the show plenty times before. We're going to have ex-co-host, I'll say he was on last week, Reverend Jacob Phillips. He's been a travel evangelist for years, and he's actually traveling today. Minnesota, somewhere like that, and he's been busy. He couldn't help me today because he was traveling and preaching to people, and that's his job and that's his calling. And as far as I heard, things are going good with his event this weekend, so praise God to Jacob. And yours truly, you know, Reverend Stan, me, I'm going to be there talking about a bunch of things. And the live worship band by Robert and Erica Jordan, they're going to be there singing the praises of the Lord, and all type of unique things are going to happen during this event. We're expecting healings to happen during the event. We're hoping we don't have to have no hands-on, but it may be a few. It may not be any, but we're expecting healings to happen during the event. The Lord showed me back a year or so ago that some of my events are going to be like Catherine Coleman's, that people will get healed in the audience while people are speaking. And these events is all going to be accessed like that. It's all going to happen in the event. And this is what we're putting our faith on, and we know that the Lord is going to touch it. The Holy Spirit spoke to Robert himself and told him that this was going to happen. The Holy Spirit's been making me feel that this is going to happen myself. So I'm feeling that a lot of people is going to be there, and I want you all to come expecting your miracles, expecting change in your life, and it will happen. The Lord will show up and reveal Himself to you there, and He may show up and reveal Himself to you tonight. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, we're expecting great things to happen that day. And this is going to be held at the Marketplace Church. It's going to be 2936. North Carolina Highway, 127 South Hickory, North Carolina, 28602 is the area code. If you want to know any more, just call me, 828-461-3604. It's 828-461-3604, and I'll tell you more, you know, other directions. And may God bless everyone of y'all. And we'll see you next Wednesday. And may God touch you this week and reveal Himself to you all week long. We'll see you then.
Who is like you? Took the sin of the world on your shoulders. Did it so willingly. God, the price you paid will forever be enough. And the life you gave, and you gave it all.